Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
May the God of peace be among you tonight. Let's open with prayer. Father, we know that you're already here. So, Father, just lead us tonight in the study we have, Father, of your word, of you, who you are, Father. Father, may my words be nothing, but your words be everything. Father, thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's see if we have a title yet. No, good. Well, before you get excited, pastors asked me to speak on communion. But, you know, there's no communion. It's not happening tonight. Okay, so don't get worried. Oh, no. But I'm going to speak on it tonight. And I want some, I enjoy participation because believe it or not, most everyone who gets up to teach the word is teaching something they need to hear themselves. Okay, I mean, that's the truth. I was going to go down one route with the teaching tonight, sharing tonight. It was going to be, what Christ did for us. As we have communion, look back at the past, what Christ did for us, look today and see what he's doing for us, and look for the hope of tomorrow. And when I started thinking about those, there was a question that came to my mind that I could not shake. The question was a very simple question. What is communion? I have participated in communion a number of times. And, we have the bread and the juice, the wine, okay? But that question, what is communion? So give me some thoughts. What is communion to you?
Respect.
Respect, okay. Okay.
Loving the Lord,
okay. Symbol of the covenant, okay, good. In honoring the Lord, relationship. Ooh, now you're getting into what we're talking about. What's come to my mind with this? What the Lord has placed in my mind with this? Okay, good, good. I want to read Acts chapter 2. I'm gonna read out of the Message Bible. Get over to the right one here. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, okay? You mentioned relationship. Listen to what the Message Bible says. This is right after Peter has delivered his sermon, and the church is newborn, if you will, if you can say it that way, okay? Everyone around was in awe. All those wonders and signs done through the apostles, and all the believers lived in a wonderful harmony, holding everything in common. Hang on that word, common. They sold whatever they owned and pooled their resources so that each person's need was met. They followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple, followed by meals at home, every meal a celebration. Exuberant and joyful as they praise God. Hang on to that. People in general liked what they saw. Every day their number grew as God added to those who were saved. Here is a picture. I believe this is a picture of communion. Church is just beginning in communion. And there's some things going on here in this very beginning church here. I told you to hang on to a word common, okay? Also told you to hang on to the celebration, exuberance, joyful as they praised God. Okay. Now, we all know the symbols of communion, right? What are they?
Bread and the
wine, okay? Right. And Matthew 26:26. This is during the Passover meal, last Passover meal that Jesus had with his disciples, okay? It reads, during the meal, Jesus took and blessed the bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body, okay? And then in verses 27 through 28, Jesus taking the cup and thanking God, he gave it to them, to the disciples there with him. Drink this, all of you. This is my blood, God's new covenant, poured out for many people for the forgiveness of sins. Okay? So this is where, you know, this is the Last Supper. This is what the Lord's Supper, if you call it, the Last Supper, the first Passover, or the first communion, if you will, it's a Passover meal, okay? And Jesus used these. He used the bread and the wine, the juice, during the Passover meal, okay? So this is where Jesus, this is a little piece of what Jesus was doing during his last Passover with his disciples. Now, they didn't know this was his last one. Now, remember, these were all Jewish men. Sometimes I'm thinking, well, this is the first time they ever got together for the Passover meal. But no, these are Jewish men. They celebrated the Passover meal every year, okay? So they had been with Jesus the 3 years of his ministry, 3+ years of his ministry. So they'd celebrate this with him every year, okay? They'd become kind of together with this. It wasn't new for them. But Jesus interjects here something new, and we're going to talk about this just a little bit more in just a minute. But if as a church was growing, we looked at the Acts here when the church first started, and it was all common, or it was common together, doing things common together. But as the church was growing, communion was part of a meal even in the early church. Okay. Today we don't necessarily have a meal with the communion. We have the bread and the wine. But in the early church, the meal was part of that. Now remember, a lot of the early church Christians were converted Jews. But there was also a lot of Gentiles too. So the converted Jews had this Passover thought in their mind that when they come together to do this. But they also had this thought, as we saw at the very beginning of church, that they all gathered every day and had a meal together. And they're celebrating with joy and excitement because of what God was doing. Okay? And unfortunately, Paul had to write one of the churches in Corinth about what they were doing. And if you want to read the whole thing, you can look at 1 Corinthians 11, 17, 34. And Paul says, hey guys, you're taking this way out of place. You're coming in, you're gluttony, you're eating meals. Some people coming in getting stuffed, other people going hungry. Some people you're having to carry out because they're drunk. Paul says, you got it all wrong. This is all wrong. This is all wrong. So he had to emphasize that, had to, if you will, discipline that church in Corinth for that. But like I said, in today's churches, I don't think I've ever been in a communion service where I participated in a meal and then had communion as part of it. But I've had a lot of communion. I've been in a lot of communion services. Okay? So, let's see where I want to go next here. What is communion then? We talked about this early church, what Jesus introduced in his Last Supper, okay, with the last Passover he had with his disciples. So let's take a look at this last Passover meal Jesus had with the disciples and see if we can come up with what the answer is to what is communion. Okay? And that's, let's see, Acts 2 again. This is Acts 2 again, all right? Again, 42. That's I've already covered that. Acts 2, 42 through 47. That was the verses I read where the church just began, where I said, look at the word common, and then how they were joyful and celebrated as they praised God. Okay, two pieces of the definition of communion. Now, if we look at the... before we look at the actual Passover meal with Jesus, I want to ask the question here. I've asked several people to stand up. So if you would stand up right now, I would appreciate that. Okay? And look around. Jeff is one of the persons. Okay, look at the folks that stand up. Tell me, what's different about them and us? What's different? Okay. Very good. I didn't have that one in my list, but very good. Very obvious one. What else is different between, what's different between them and us and everything? Okay, good. What else is different? Okay, different features. Okay. That was a nice way of saying it. I was going to be a little more ruder. All of them have glasses. Oh, hold that thought. Hold that thought. Tall, short, okay. Men, women, right? Different features. I like that. That was very, very well said. Okay. But they're different from us, right? Okay. You can sit down right now. All right. So they're different. Let's take a look at Matthew 26, 17 through 30. That's a lot of scriptures, okay? It's a lot of scriptures. But I'm going to try to read them. Yeah, I'm fine. On the first day, and this is out of the Message Bible, on the first days of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Where do you want us to prepare your Passover meal?" He said, "Enter the city, go to a certain man and say, 'The teacher says, my time is near, and my disciples plan to celebrate the Passover meal at your house.'" The disciples followed his instruction to the letter and prepared a Passover meal. After sunset, he and the 12 were sitting around the table. During the meal, he said, "I have something hard but important to say to you. One of you is going to hand me over to the conspirators." They were stunned, and they began to ask one another, "Is it me? Or it isn't me, is it, Master?" And Jesus answered, "The one whose hands one who hands me over is someone I will eat with daily, one who passes me food at the table. In one sense, the Son of Man is entering into a way of treachery well marked by the Scriptures." No surprises here. In another sense, that man who turns him in turns traitor to the Son of Man. Better never to have been born than to do this. Then Judas, already turned traitor, said, "It isn't me, is it, Rabbi?" Notice the change that he used there in that address. Jesus said, "Don't play games with me, Judas." During the meal, Jesus took and blessed the bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples. "Take, eat, this is my body." Taking the cup and thanking God, he gave it to them. "Drink this, all of you, this is my blood, God's new covenant poured out for many people for the forgiveness of sins. I'll not be drinking wine from this cup again until that day, that new day, when I'll drink with you in the kingdom of my Father." They sang a hymn and went directly to Mount Olives. So here's Jesus's, you know, they prepare this meal, Passover meal. They've done it several times before. It wasn't anything unusual for them to do this, okay? And in the meal, Jesus says, "Well, guess what, guys? I got something I got to tell you. It's going to be a shock to you, and it's kind of nasty. One of you going to betray me." Of course, human nature is kicked right in, right? "It ain't me. It ain't me. Is it Lord? It ain't me. Is it Lord?" And then Jesus says, after Satan had entered him, "It isn't me, Rabbi." Notice the change there. The other disciples are saying, "Lord, Master." And Judas said, "Rabbi, teacher." A little distinction there. Not broad, but a little distinction there. And then Jesus does something different again. First of all, he's already shocked the disciples by saying, "Somebody's going to betray me." And now Jesus said, let's take this different. "I'm going to introduce you to a new Passover." Because this is what this is, Passover. They're celebrating, remembering the days when they were brought out of Egypt, when the angel of death passed over the houses of the Israelite, the Hebrew children, that had their doorposts, their frames painted with the blood of the Lamb. Jesus said, "I'm going to introduce you to a new Passover celebration here." So he takes the bread, he blesses it, breaks it, and gives it to the disciples and says, "This is my body. Take it and eat," okay? And he takes a cup of wine, blesses it, and says, "This is my blood, given for the forgiveness of many." for the forgiveness of sin of many. So this is brand new. This is where Jesus first introduced this. So here is this introduction. They're having a Passover meal that they've had many times before, and Jesus introduces this new Passover meal, okay? And he's with his 12. These are 12 men that they've been together. Now, keep in mind, they've been together day and night for 3 years or so, okay? Now, let's be honest. Unless you're a husband and wife and you work at home, you're not going to be with somebody day and night all the time. You're going to be away from them some, okay? But these three men were with Jesus day and night, okay? So what do you think? Describe the disciples to me. Who were they? What were they? What did they do? Fisherman, okay. Tax collector, okay. A doctor. What else? A zealot. Judas Iscariot, he was a zealot. And the zealot was one that believed that by force they would overtake Rome and get their freedom, okay? What else? Anything else? What about Thomas? Doubter, right? Okay. What about Peter? What's he well known for? His big mouth, yeah. Acting before thinking, right? And even in that 12, there was a thief. All these men, these 12 men had been with Jesus 3 years, but they were all different, right? So here Jesus is introducing something new, this new Passover, okay? Whoops. What did the disciples have in common? Easy to think about what the differences are. What did the disciples have in common? None of them were perfect, okay? What about this? Supposedly, they all gave up what they were doing. They left their jobs, right? Who were they following? Okay. And where did they spend their time with? Okay. All right. They weren't perfect. They were all sinners. Okay. They were all Jewish men. And they all misunderstood Jesus. The only one that ever understood Jesus was Peter, and that was because the Spirit came into him and told him that you were the Son of God. Otherwise, Peter was just way off in left field with everybody else. Okay? So, let me share something about the word communion itself. Where's my little paper right here? I should have it. Make sure I get the right page, not this one. Oh, it's over here. Yeah. We sometimes take a word and we think we know what it means, okay? And sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Again, what is communion? This question that came into my mind, and it's been rolling through my mind this whole time. Well, it's a noun word, okay? I couldn't find it listed as a verb. Now, maybe it is somewhere. I just missed it, but I couldn't find it as a noun. Okay. The word communion is defined as this is interesting, it's now a word, but it's defined as the act of sharing or holding in common or participation. Okay. And we already seen participation here. They're all 12 with Jesus sitting down with the last Passover, and Jesus introduces new communion. We also seen what was in common with the 12 men. Okay. With Jesus. Another one is, it is a fellowship of believers by which they gather together to remember the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's common. We think about that commonly at communion, okay? Here's another one. It is a remembrance of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that too. This was interesting, I thought. The elements in themselves, the bread and wine, are not the issue. Do you ever think about that? The bread and wine is not the issue in communion, okay? It is the fact that believers assemble together to fellowship, to remember Christ's sacrifice, and to examine their own hearts as to whether they have any unconfessed sin. You know, at that table with Jesus, the 12, he gave Judas an opportunity to say, "Lord, I've been wrong." Because he pointed out to Jesus, "You're going to be the one that's going to betray me." So he had the opportunity during that time of communion to say, "Lord, I'm wrong." Of course, Satan had already entered him, so there was no way Satan's going to say, "I'm wrong." Satan says, "I'm right every time." And he's a liar. Remember that. So he just got through lying. Here's another, I thought was a very good definition. This goes to something else I heard tonight. The bond, communion, the bond uniting Christians as individuals and groups with each other and with Jesus is described as communion. Do you ever think about that? The bond uniting each one of us together and with Jesus is communion. Now we partake in communion by taking the bread and wine as Jesus did with the disciples and said, "Do this." Something else interesting about communion, the Greek word for it, which I'm not going to try to pronounce. I have enough trouble with just plain English words. It appears in the New Testament, but it does not appear in the Old Testament, which is interesting. Or at least in the Old Testament as known as the Septuagint, okay? Not the Old Testament that we have, but what the Hebrew nation, the Jewish people accept as Old Testament. So this idea of communion, it's not just these symbols. As a matter of fact, the symbols, as it said, is not the issue here. It's a relationship. It's a relationship. A relationship with each other. A relationship with Christ. Okay? During the Passover meal, have you ever heard what happened during the Passover meal? Or how big it was? It's a huge meal. This is a festival of unleavened bread, okay? It's going on for about 5 or 7 days that they celebrate, okay? And they end it with this feast, okay? And it's a big meal, okay? It's a huge meal. They have the pieces of the meal represent what the nation of Israel suffered and experienced during the Exodus, during Moses' leading of them out of Egypt, okay? Now, we all understand that night before they left Egypt, Israel, they had unleavened bread and roasted lamb. Okay, they didn't have time for the bread to be leavened. So they baked unleavened bread and had roasted lamb. The lamb that was slain put the blood on the doorpost. Okay, did not waste then. Okay, so they had to eat that and eat it quickly. But in the other parts of the meal, there's all types of fruits and vegetables and everything going on, and it's a tremendous meal. I had opportunity to share it one time. It's fantastic. We didn't have lamb, we had chicken because lamb was too expensive. But it was a fantastic meal. But in this Passover meal, what's interesting, this was something I had never known before. Jesus takes the bread and breaks it and says, "Eat, this is my body, okay, given to you, okay, given for you, okay." And he takes a cup of wine, of grape, of the juice, okay. I always thought, you know, it was one cup. No big deal. But this is happening during the meal. Okay? This is not necessarily... We always figured it would be at the end of the meal. But it necessarily wasn't at the end of the meal. Okay? It was during the meal. Because actually during the Passover meal, the cup of wine was drinking 4 times. It was 4 cups of wine. Okay? The cup of redemption is what it was called. 4 cups of redemption. The first cup was the cup of sanctification. That was the first cup of wine that the participants of the Passover meal took. Okay? The second cup was a cup of judgment. And I'm sure there were Hebrew words that were said over these cups. I know there was, to explain them, okay? But I didn't get that, so I don't know what was said over them. The third cup, and this is the cup where Jesus, most scholars believe Jesus stopped and said, take this cup. This cup was the cup of redemption. Doesn't it make sense that Jesus would stop at this cup of redemption? Because that's what he's getting ready to do, right? He's getting ready to go and be allow himself to be sacrificed on a cross for our sins, for our redemption. So as we take the cup of juice, remember, that's how we remember Jesus. That blood shed, the cup of redemption is what we're taking, okay? There was a fourth cup. And it's interesting what Jesus says here. You know, he says, taking the cup and thanking God, he gave it to them. This is the third cup, most scholars believe. Drink this, all of you. This is my blood, God's new covenant poured out for many people for the forgiveness of sins. I will not be drinking wine from this cup again until that new day when I drink with you in the kingdom of my Father. And it says, they sang a hymn and went directly to the Mount of Olives. Now, if Jesus stopped on the third cup and said, share this because of what this cup means, and he said, I will not drink of this cup again until that new day. Well, you know what the fourth cup is in the Passover meal? It's the cup of the kingdom. So Jesus is still waiting to be able to share that cup of the kingdom with us. With everyone who knows him personally. With everyone who will share with him. Not only will there be, I think, that marriage festival that happens with the church and Jesus, but I think Jesus will fulfill this last Passover meal by taking that last cup of the kingdom and celebrating with us the new kingdom. Now, I may be totally wrong on that, but if scholars say he stopped and the third cup was what he offered to the disciples, and they left, they drank it and sang a song. It doesn't say anything about doing that fourth cup. And Jesus said, I will not drink this cup again until the new kingdom comes. And it's interesting. I know I remember a lot of churches, Baptist church is really bad about this. Well, not bad, that's not the right word. Baptist churches do this every time, for the most part. Always sung a small little hymn after communion. I forget what it's been so long since I've sung it. I forget what it was. Blessed be the tie that binds, I believe is what it was titled. And it signifies what the communion was. It was that relationship between each saved, each member in Christ's body with Christ. So, what is communion? I hope what we've seen tonight is communion is not just the bread and the wine, but I hope we see it as a relationship. We see it as a relationship between each of us, okay, that's here in this church, but it's also a relationship with anybody, any other believer, okay, which that opens the door up for us. If we are visiting another church, and they offer a communion, and it's based on the scriptural definition of of the cup and the blood, then we are free to participate in that. Now, there are some churches that have closed communion. It says you can only commute if you're a member of that church, which kind of negates or takes away from this whole concept of communion being together, unity together. But you respect the church anyway. But if you go into it, if you're visiting a church and they offer communion and it's not a closed communion, then you're free to participate in it. Okay? You're free if you're a Christian. A Christian is a person who knows Jesus Christ personally. They've accepted him personally as Lord and Savior. You're free. That's a freedom that, that Christ has brought us. You're free to participate with each person in communion, here or in the other church. There is no fear in that. There is no fear in that. It's openness. It's openness. It's openness with each other and with God. Now, Paul had to discipline the First Corinthian church, okay, because of the way they were celebrating this Passover with the communion. They were totally out of whack with what they were doing, okay? And disobedience does bring consequences to it, okay? And Paul says, some of these consequences that you're seeing, some of the sicknesses, the illnesses, some of the problems you're having, this type of thing, is because you are not celebrating communion as it was to be celebrated. And it is a celebration, okay? I've heard a lot of pastors get up and say, well, now if you eat this bread and drink this cup, and you're not saved, you're going to have all these terrible things happen to you. I don't see my God that way. I don't see my God that way. Okay? God knows your heart. Yes. And you're not getting to participate in the union, the unity of the church. But I don't see, God never does something. He doesn't stripe people with badness. He gifts them with goodness. He does. That's what he does. And yes, it's the thing with this, it's time to compromise. It's also a time that you look at yourself and say, do I have any unconfessed sin? If we know something, then we want to take the time to bring it to the Lord. Lay it on his altar. That's the wonderful thing about his altar. His altar is open to everything that we have. It's open to our sins. It's open to our baggage. It's open to our praise. It's open to our worship. It's open to everything we have, okay? And as we have communion, or are we preparing for communion, we're not perfect. There may be something that we don't think of that was sin. But it doesn't prohibit us or stop us from communion with each other and with Jesus. Because Jesus died for it, okay? The confession of the sin is to bring us the ability to recognize who God is in our lives and keep us close to him. The forgiveness is already there. Has to be. If it's not, then, oh, wow. We're in just terrible shape. If it's not there. It's not there. If it's not. But so communion is this relationship, and thank you for saying that. That was great. That was great. It's this relationship. Relationship between believers and Jesus. Next week, we will have communion. Okay? So you have this week to do a couple of things. It's up to you now. Obviously, this week, you can take time to look at your life. Have time to say, is there anything in my life that I need to get correct? I need to get with God on, okay? It could be sin, okay? But it also may be some needs. There is also one of the pieces of communion, and it's the reason I say I was going to look at what Jesus did in the past, but what is he doing today is that there's also the special time, okay? It opens up, it's special because we become more open to what the Spirit can do within us and wants to do within us. So there may be some needs that we have, and you may want to be preparing yourself to have those needs met next Sunday, okay? It could be any number of needs. You know, it could be physical, it could be mental, it could be financial, it could be relationships, it could be just anything. But those, it's not just necessarily preparing yourself by asking God to forgive us of sin, but preparing yourself to receive what God has to give for you, has to give you. Okay? And also preparing to remember that not only, you know, a lot of studies say, you know, remember what Christ did for us on the cross. And we remember that because his blood was shed. It was poured out. That's what has covered us and washed us. Okay? And what he's doing today, taking care of us, watching us, giving us, blessing us with all the good things that we have. The willingness of him to take care of our sicknesses, our illnesses, our relationships, okay? But it's also the hope of tomorrow. What did you, when did, Jesus said, I'm coming back, right? I will be back. Okay? So that is part of, I mean, it's not necessarily reflected directly in these verses. It is kind of indirectly reflected because Jesus said, I'm not going to drink this cup again until I come with the kingdom. Jesus said, I am coming back. So when we do communion together, we are unified together. We come together with ourselves and with Jesus. We look back, we look today, and we look tomorrow. So this week, think about that. Think about what you might want to do to prepare yourself for communion. And in that preparation, ask God to relieve you of anything that may hinder you, i.e. fear of coming and participating in communion with your brother and sister and with your Lord. Okay. All right. Let's pray. Father, you're wonderful. Lord, I hope that I've delivered the word tonight so that we all understand what communion is. It is that relationship with each other and with you, Father. Father, as we are leaving here tonight, Father, we leave with a heart filled with the knowledge that you love us, that you want to take care of us, Father. And Father, we leave with a heart of knowledge that you are not to be afraid of. And participating with you is not to be fearful, but it's to be joyful. It's to be a celebration. It's to be exuberant. And Father, we do it not like the church in Corinth did, Father. We do it reverently with you, Father. But Father, we do it with a peace and a joy and a celebration. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for that. Father, if there's someone here that doesn't have a personal relationship with you, Father, this is a wonderful time. This is the hour, this is the moment, Father. And it's very simple, Father. All they have to do, Lord, you know, is to say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins and come and be my Savior and my Lord. And in that moment of time, they become a new creation. And Father, in that moment of time, they can now have that unity with each believer and with you. So, Father, if someone prays that, Father, I pray that they will tell someone what they've done so that they can be celebrated with, Lord. I thank you for that. Father, I thank you that you love us and your grace is never ending. Your mercy is overabundant. Your love is covering us. Your peace fills us. Your joy excites us. And Father, thank you for the name of Jesus, the name above all names. In that name I pray. Amen.